Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome, everybody, to the Thanks for Trying podcast. Thank you to everyone that's been locking in every single week for the past 6 weeks. This is a very, very different type of episode. It is the first ever episode with three guests, and it's the first ever one where I've had food involved. It took a lot of fucking editing, I'm not gonna lie. It was mad, it's ridiculous, there's a lot of shouting, and it features Sipa, aka MC Grinder, that you would know from People Just Do Nothing, Corrupt FM. He's a former guest. And his new gang, his posse, the Taste Cadets. If you follow them on Instagram, you know about their ridiculous food adventures and how they go all around the world and just eat things that make me supremely jealous. Kieran and Marcus, big them up for coming through and bringing the soisson and bringing the natural wines and just getting drunk in my front room. It's mostly about food, I'm not gonna lie. You can sometimes hear us slapping our gums, and that's all good. It's cool. There's a lot of Bourdain talk also. So make sure you go check out at Taste Cadets on Insta if you want the little updates and see all the things that make me supremely hungry every single time. As always, make sure you subscribe. Check out the previous 5 episodes. Check out the last 20 episodes of season 1. And hit me up with your Under the Patio suggestions. I am Corin, sometimes known as, occasionally known as, The Last Skeptic. Enjoy the episode.
Welcome to my new house, and to episode I think it's episode 6. Who cares? I don't care really. Of the Thanks for Trying podcast season 2. I'm mad excited because this is the first. There's two firsts for this episode. It's the first ever episode with 3 guests, and it's the first ever food episode. We have a selection of mad, intricate, amazing things on the table. So, everyone, welcome. Sipa and the Taste Cadets.
Big up.
Yes, Kieran and Marcus. Guys, thank you so much for coming.
You're welcome.
I really, really appreciate that.
Thank you, bro.
Before we get into conversation, I'd like actually for you to introduce the things that you've brought with you, because people at home in their cars in the gyms, they can't see the shit that you've brought, and I just want to know what it is.
Alright, sweet. So I've brought through, just for a different twist, I've brought a little bit of natural wine because I started drinking it a few months ago and I've got no clue about it. Then I haven't stopped basically. Yeah, no sulfates, no headaches, no hangovers.
Wow.
Drink as much as you want.
Yeah.
And you will get battered.
And you probably will get a headache. Yeah. But yeah, so I brought a little.
Where's it from? Where do they make it?
To be honest, I'm just getting into it now, isn't it? Like I saw it on Action Bronson's program. Fuck, that's delicious. I'm not really into wine. And it seemed like more of a juicy type thing. So now I'm trying this little festi jar one from Patrick Bougeau.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, man. And Kieran's brought a few little charcuteries.
I'm mad into wine. I love actual normal wine, but this for me is a complete different thing. Like, I'm loving it. And to go with it, we've got a little bit of classic French saucisson.
So you pair these wines specifically with the...
yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah, that's exactly what you did. Yeah.
Now that you mention it.
Yeah. So you guys are like, you're mad like, intellectual about this. Ooh, shit.
Yeah.
These two
unintentionally.
These two are.
Yeah. I turn up.
Marky brought half a bottle of water, so that keeps us hydrated, innit? Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. So, for people that don't know, because Taste Cadets is, you know, it's a fairly new thing. It's a new thing that I had to learn about too. And mostly because, you know, I fucking love food, so I'm mad. Oh, there you go. Santé.
Santé.
Cheers, brother.
Enchanté. Cheers. So it's basically this, you know, this outfit for eating the nangest shit around the world.
Yeah, basically. So Kieran's my best friend from school. And Marky's, of course, another best friend of mine. And we've always gone on travelling trips together. Mm. But me and Kieran have always massively been into food. Anthony Bourdain was a massive inspiration. Yeah, we always said we'd, you know,
to take
we'd
it
love
further,
to do something and like just make it into an actual thing, you know?
Mm. But, yeah. Everything's always been about food with us. Like, even we've known each other for about, like, nearly 20 years now, innit? And like, I remember going around his yard when we were like little, and like, it would be focusing on like dinner time.
With what I do with People See Nothing and that, I'm fortunate that I'm in a position to, you know what I mean, think of like other projects I'd like to do. And People See Nothing was the same thing. It was it's like working with my best friends. So that's what I'm trying to do with these lot, is like trying to get us to do our dream, which would be to travel the world and eat, you know?
And it looks like from the socials, it looks like you're getting to do that already.
But it's all self-funded at the moment, I don't want it to be like a review thing. I want it to be honest. So if you get it for free, you kind of just have to it.
Yeah. You don't want to go somewhere and ask for shit for free anyway, because, I don't know, I always feel fucking bad. Like, I feel bad when I go to a new restaurant that people, that someone spent years and years like trying to get the funds to open up. They've opened up with all this heart, and there I am trying to get like a £6 burger for free. And I know I'm a fucking scroungy cunt, man. Like, I know that. I know
Weasel
I want free. You know what I mean? I want that shit for free. But I still feel bad, man. If I had loads of money and I was reviewing shit, I'd pay for it, man.
I've never even thought about asking. I'd never ask. Like, it's like we get invited down for things, but it's like,
it's nice, isn't it? It's nice to get invited down if they appreciate what you do. And and generally, like, the people that reach out are people that like have a real passion for their craft. And you know what I mean? Like, love that shit.
So tell me about, so obviously Vietnam, you guys did quite extensively.
Yeah.
I fucking love Vietnam. Like, the food is just ridiculous. It's probably amazing. Some of the best food I've had in the world.
Yeah, for sure.
And also because I'm a big broth guy.
Yeah,
I love a broth, man.
Yeah, like, you're a broth smith.
A brothsman, if you will.
I'm a brothsman. Yeah, I'm fully a brothsman. I'm out here just trying to have broth with no noodles, man.
Yeah. That's the most important bit, you know, of a pho. Most people say pho, but it's actually a pho because we've been to Vietnam. Yeah.
Sound like a cunt.
Yeah.
I go to these places. I go to get pho.
Yeah.
In London.
And first time you went there, you probably would have said pho.
I probably said pho.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, yeah, like most people leave the broth anyway. That just makes me angry. Tell me about Vietnam. How long were you guys out there for?
So basically, what I wanted to do is make a self-fund a taster tape, basically, innit? So the guy that I work with, the producer on People See Nothing, he was like, look, if you lot are going out anyway, film it and I'll help edit it for you and we can push it around. So that is the whole point of the trip. And we wanted to do three different types of cultures, but without making a hectic plane journey. So with whatever kind of worked on the link, innit?
Yeah, yeah.
So like, we went to Doha. We had like 3 days of the Arab vibes.
Sick.
We
saw the spread you guys had, man. It was just upsetting.
Yeah, bro, we went to this incredible Iraqi restaurant in the souk. That is amazing.
In full attire.
Yeah, in full attire as well. Yeah.
Was it Dasha?
Dasha, yeah. Dasha's,
man.
Yeah, man. When we went to buy all our stuff from the market, me and him just got like paid like a normal price, and he's like, he goes, I found a Fendi one, Fendi headscarf. It's white, but like with like Fendi stitching on it. He's like, how, you know, mugs, I got the Fendi one cheaper. And it's so cheap that it was like starchy. And it was just like standing spread like eagle every time
sheet of cardboard. balancing
on my
more
head. Like the Pope. And then he's walking around, but they were so nice. They're like, every time we saw someone, they were laughing and they helped him put it on properly. And they're so welcoming. So we went there and then we Vietnam, and we flew out to Thailand. We had a little weekend in Thailand, like planned it like that. So the weekend was in Bangkok.
I find that when I was in Bangkok, it's so, like food, great food is everywhere, yeah, but yeah, I found it very difficult to find the great restaurants everyone talks about that aren't the super high-end ones.
Really?
And but I found it really, really easy to find incredible food sitting on an upturned bucket.
Oh yeah, of course. You stumble across the best food.
Yeah, you're right.
Your best meal is always the one you just found by accident. Yeah. Yeah. You just look for the big queue of locals and just go straight there.
That's you're right, you know, like there's a lot of them that I've been to Thailand like 4 times now or 3 times.
Sure.
Yeah, a lot of the restaurants I've been to before were just basically to, like, if there's it's a proper restaurant but not high end but normal restaurant, it kind of feels more like a touristy sort of place.
Yeah.
The photos on the menus and stuff. And just like Kieran said, just seeing where sometimes we didn't know where to go and there'd be a queue of locals. We're like, okay, that's the spot. You know what I mean? Like, little research and then groundwork when you're there, I guess.
Yeah. You'll find a lot of people, like, a lot of people have been Thailand, right? And everyone's had sort of a different experience with it. A lot of people will say, "Oh, the food's shit out there," because they don't try. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is quite hard to find. Like,
but I feel like with somewhere like that, it's like the food's great, but then you find shit. Well, you know, you find even better food. You know what I mean?
Get lost.
Yeah. Definitely.
I lived there in the
chicken coop.
How are we gonna bring it round to that?
You lived in a chicken coop. I kind of need to know more about that.
All right, then, check it.
Hey, yo, check
drop
it.
The mic.
Basically, like, back in 2010, there was a cyclone back then, yeah? Cyclone Nargis, and it killed a lot of Burma, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, at a loose end, and I wanted to get out and see if I could help. And all the websites I looked into were all like, basically, you need to be a doctor or something along those lines. So I was like,
which of course he is as well, but he was trying to leave his doctor work behind.
He'd be a vet instead.
The documents to be a doctor were too expensive. So I went and looked into English teaching. I didn't even finish school.
Facts.
So I did an online English course that I didn't even finish, but I told the organisation that I was actually going to... That I'm doing this course, and they accepted me.
Sorry, it's too much.
True.
Going out to teach English when everyone else, because like most of the other people were like uni students. Was like was your girl studying anthropology?
Yeah, she's like a proper academic. She's like, she's made money just from being smart, basically.
Wouldn't that be nice, man?
Yeah.
One day I'll do that.
Nah, I'll always be thick. Like, we went to like Bangkok, right? Spent a little bit of time there, had a little holiday, right? And then over that holiday, it was like a week, just started to sort of sink in what I was doing. And then we fly out to Chiang Mai like a week later, and we got like a 6-hour bus from like Chiang Mai to the border town. It's called Mae Sot. And like,
the border of Burma?
The border of Burma, it's like multiple organizations under the umbrella of Burmese volunteer project. And they help Burmese refugees, try and do this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
And through the medium of English. And so on the bus on the way there, I basically had a nervous breakdown, a panic attack, and realized like what I was doing. I hadn't finished the course or anything.
Yeah.
So I got there. And to cut a long story short, like, we were sitting around a massive table with about 20 volunteers in the orientation meeting, and it was going around like, what do you do? What do you do? And it was like fucking UN this, and
I haven't heard this story,
PhD that. And I was like, it got to me. And like, I could see my girl opposite me just like sniggering away. Like, she had no support as well. She loved that shit as well. Just like, and like, what do you do? I was like, I do landscaping, man. Like, and then I thought that was it. I thought it was going to crumble.
Yeah.
But the organizer was like, oh, we got the perfect school for you. I was like, really? He's like, yeah, don't worry about it. All you got to do is speak. They're a bunch of idiots as well.
Fucking hell.
That's mental.
Like, the next day, I went on a scooter, on the back of the scooter with the organizer to the school, and like walked into a classroom of 30 kids who all stood up like, good morning, teacher, like that. And like, I was a shake, like a nervous wreck.
I bet, man.
And you're supposed to live with your school, but I was like, they showed me around the dorms and that, and like, there's like, this is where the kids sleep. And he took me outside, and there was this like giant pen, like, like hemmed in with like concrete floor and then like chicken wire outside and just a mattress.
Yeah.
And that was where I slept for like when I was out there.
Oh man.
How long were you actually there for?
I was there for like 4.5 months altogether, but I only slept in the chicken coop for 2.5 weeks.
I mean, I was thinking about, I can't sleep one night, but I hate festivals.
Yeah.
That's what we're...
You could do a festival. Yeah, yeah.
Festival for two nights only.
Yeah.
That is it.
Yeah.
No, it was hectic, man. It was proper hectic.
Some festivals are like chicken coops, innit?
Yeah, of course they are.
That's, yeah.
With more cunts. So you were in. So you had the insider knowledge in Bangkok.
So I guess the reason this all ties in is that the fact that me and Kieran, like I say, we grew up together, went to school together and that, but he then at the age of 19 pretty much left England and with his girl at the time, was travelling the world, loads of different jobs, lived at different countries, learned French and Spanish. And and then he's come back now. So he's got like the travel experience under his belt. Mm. We've always had the food connection that's kind of why Taste Cadets was born, you know.
I bring nothing.
Yeah, absolutely nothing. We just shelter and clothe him.
You're
sassy.
Yeah.
Hardcore charisma.
Yeah, yeah.
You need that.
And Rizla.
charisma and Rizla, that should be a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Because I'm just fascinated, man, because obviously I've travelled around the world and eaten a lot of mad shit.
Show off.
obviously, go on about it.
Obviously. You know, for me, like, food shows are my fucking life, man.
Yeah,
like,
same.
You know, we all share our devastation at the death of Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah, very sad.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Yeah, just because of the amount that, you know, I know the amount he influenced me, but mm-hmm. I can't imagine how much he influenced you guys.
Mm-hmm.
What is your ultimate goal, to do a kind of show like that where you're showing, you know, these different sides to cultures that are long forgotten and othered by society?
Yeah, 100%. Like for me, it's about, I don't want to do like a food show where it's like, oh, hey, we're here and we're cooking this. It's like, I want it to be more about the culture and the people. Because I think the food show, like delving into food, helps you find out about the history of the people.
Exactly, the people behind the food.
It's a common ground for every culture. You know,
With us, it's not really a political angle. It's more of a human, you know what I mean? Like human interaction.
If it's human, if it's historical, it's inherently political.
Yeah, definitely. But not political for the sake of it, you know? Like trying to come with an agenda, because
but I think, you know what, the thing about Bourdain was so great is that he naturally, like,
okay,
we got a knock on the door.
Feds outside.
Marcus, why are you always bringing it?
Yeah, so we had a brief break because I got a mouthful of food now.
I left the Ofo in the... Well, Sipa left the Ofo in the middle of the road.
Yeah, the Ofos are these crazy bikes that you can just fucking, like, use a code and fucking pick up a bike.
It's part of our culture and lifestyle.
Yeah, it's one of the tastiest mode of transport, really, yeah.
But we were just talking off mic. I know, I can't even remember what we talked about before we cut off. I'll probably have to do some kind of...
Kieran, you know, the chicken
juju.
But what we were saying is, why are you so angry about burgers without buns? I'm a gluten-free guy. I can't have wheat. But also, they when I go in and out, man, always standardly protein style.
Kieran's never been in and out.
Like, in and out is an incredible, simple burger.
I've had Shake Shack.
Shake Shack's really good, but they, you know, I don't know if they do the protein style also.
Do you know what? One of the illest burgers I've had is when I went to visit him. He lived in France, in the Alps. And it was like in a cheap little shack, you know, just like takeaway vibes, but it was in a baguette.
Yeah.
And it's chopped up burger, chopped up onions, mushrooms, cheese, all of that.
Yeah. Was that, I wasn't there then.
Nah. Do you know what? You was getting a massage at the time on codeine.
Sounds good.
We went on a, tell the story. We went to meet Kieran when he was living there. We all went skiing and snowboarding. And I broke my arm basically.
On the first day.
Marcus is a skater, right?
Yeah.
He was a skater back in the day, And like,
I still got it.
Before the injury, could have gone pro.
Yeah.
You know, like the joke when people get that, he says he'd be in the Premier League.
Sick I was.
If it weren't his thing, he goes, wait till you meet my dad. Went out for his birthday, and his dad said the same thing. But I just feel like your dad's just as deluded as you.
Yeah. Somehow proof that his dad goes, yeah, he could have been a footballer. Proud of he could have been.
Don't play this to your dad. Bang me.
We definitely all could have been something. If I had started last year, I could have had a six pack by now.
That's what I'm saying. True.
I've got a six pack and I'm nothing compared to you.
Yeah, but you ain't got the same face as me.
Gosh.
So in that little little gap we had, you were explaining that we've got I keep going back to the food because I've never had food on this podcast before. We had Jordan Stevens bringing through one time Nando's, bringing through another time sushi.
Mm.
we've had little bits here and there. We had Sinead Harnett and Maverick say we run out for an ice cream from the ice cream van.
Oy,
but we've okay. never had food on the table.
You've never had this level of food, you know. You've never had saucisson. You've never had natural wine from Patrick Bourjou.
No, nor have I. It's my first time today, but it's banging.
Bourjou. Four different types of cured ham.
Four, man. One of them has duck, like venison, boar, a young child. It just has everything.
Indeed. Baby all of it in the there. Child was already dead, of course, so it's using the, you know, well, it's not like they'd get murdered for the beer.
It's a French loophole. If you find it's the child dead on the road, you're allowed to carve him up.
French loophole.
Mixtape coming out soon. French loophole volume one.
So we were talking about Bourdain and political stuff. So what I was saying is that, you know, I think there's no shame in making a program, like a documentary series, a food show.
Yeah.
You know, food is so inherently political in its
100%
in its existence because of the because of the
like colonization,
the olive trees that are burnt down by the Israeli army in Palestine, you know, because of the sanctions, the sanctions that go on countries that America invades, that it means that people can't get food and
you're having to work where they got it.
Yeah. Exactly. If we eat more, that means somebody eats less. And food predates anything that we could ever talk about.
Like working from less ingredients, like some of the best food, you know, like when a lot of the Italian foods mad simple because they're going through a lot of poverty back in the day. So like, and what we were talking about earlier, the furs, the beef soups, and there wouldn't be no beef. There wouldn't be that's like a French stock. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, banh mi baguettes.
Yeah.
You go all the way to fucking Vietnam, and it's you expect us to see rice and the stereotypical rice and noodles and stuff, and you've got a mate like some of the best.
It's mixed
French
race
baguettes
food
in the world.
Is what it is. Like when you get a clash of cultures, say clash, you say like, you know, like integration, whichever, whatever you want to say, like it's at the end of the day, you're going to get a beautiful mix.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course. My granddad was actually stationed in Vietnam before the Americans. So he was like French Tunisian. He was in the Foreign Legion.
Yeah.
He was a very intelligent guy. Mm-hmm. So he wasn't out there.
He clocked
what was going on. He also clocked the maddest shit is that all of the soldiers were getting super like fucking depressed and like getting on it, drinking and doing whatever. That the generals would feed them opium in their water bottles,
really,
so that they could continue fighting.
Fucking hell, man.
So my granddad just stopped drinking the water that they gave them. He got mad dehydrated because he didn't want to get fucked up.
You
want to
be a smackhead out there?
Yeah, crazy, isn't
it? Fucking hell, yeah,
insane.
Yeah, it's mad. It's a place of like crazy history out there. That
definitely. And you know what? To add to the point, the reason I said I didn't specifically want this to be a political thing is because I want to learn myself. You know what I mean? Like we're still relatively young, and you know, in the scale of things, like Anthony Bourdain had gone through this life. He'd traveled a lot of countries before he could start.
Between his first series.
Oh, exactly. That's what I mean.
Last.
Yeah,
like, we're not like, pretending that we know everything about the food we're eating.
You know what I mean? Because like I think I just want to show a TV show where it's really underproduced in the sense of like it's real. You know what I mean? Like we're learning with the people that are watching it, and you're getting to see the real conversations in between us, the fact that like we love each other but we hate each other, you know what I mean? Like when you go traveling, you're gonna be arguing,
some mental rows.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
But trying to keep it real is the most difficult part of it as well. Like, I mean, like,
of course, being from a hip hop background yourself, you know about keeping it real, didn't you? Yeah.
When that came out of my mouth, hip hop.
Well, that's just the main thing, just keeping it real.
Like, which is real in itself.
But it's my priority, basically, keeping it real.
Same.
Very high on my list as well.
Yeah, high on my list.
But no. On a real though, you know, see like what we do. Yeah, I feel like we're in the thick of it. You know, like a lot of what we do. We come from very different backgrounds, and bringing it back to Anthony Bourdain. Yeah, he went to the Culinary Institute of America, and he's got like a French like background as well. Like his family are from France, and a lot of his first experiences were. If you read his books, were from in France, right?
Yeah.
So like that traditional beginnings, and then you look at the stuff that he did later on, exploring the whole world, like mashing it all together. That's what we live for. That's why anyone travels, where you go around the world, you look for different foods. And like, we're very lucky. People say that you don't have a British food culture, but our food culture is just getting it all and creating that melting pot and tasting.
Like reflection.
Yeah, you know. I mean,
but it's what you were saying. Actually, you're, you know, coming back to your point, you're spot on, because how can it not be to do with politics when really the food in this country is based on, you know, all the different type of immigrants we've had. You know, I'm born here, but my mum's from Czech Republic, my dad's from Kurdistan, you know, you've got your Tunisian back. You know what I mean? It's like,
it always baffles me when I hear you speaking, is it Czech to your mum?
Yeah,
baffles me.
Wait, well, you're fluent?
I'm fluent in Czech and Kurdish, But like, the thing with, obviously, Iraq is a lot harder to go there, so I've never been there because of the problems. But so I'm not as much in practice of that language, you know what I mean? But
you should see whenever you meet someone from Kurdistan, like, I'll hear from across the pond, Kieran, he's from my village.
It's still mad for me because it was like a very suppressed people that, you know, like, it's stuff that I was learned about a lot later in life as well. Because when you're young, you don't give a fuck, innit? Like, I'm just trying to be from here, you know what I mean?
It's also, people forget that it's a very different culture and language to the rest of Iraq.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. The Kurds aren't Arabs, you know, and Iraq is an Arabic country, you know. It's like, the only way I can explain it is that the Kurdish were just a people, you know. It was a part of the world. This was before all the borders got made and countries got made, so that's why you've got Iraqi, Iranian, Turkish, Syrian Kurds, because they were all one people in one sort of part of the world, and then countries got made up, and now you've got a Turkish version of a Kurd, an Iraqi version of a Kurd, because for the last however many hundred years, they've been influenced by the culture of the actual country, you know?
It'd be great to go to.
Oh, bruv, I'd love to do it on, like, if we get, you know, touch wood, if we get a TV show out of this, I'd love to do, one of the things that Kieran mentioned we should do is just go back, because Kieran's half Scottish, really the heritage is Irish deep down, isn't it?
But I mean, this, like, I know this is a very loose connection here, right? As you talk about Kurdistan, relate that to Scotland, is that Scotland isn't actually a country, it's a nation within a country.
That's exactly it.
But like, it doesn't stop the, when it, bringing it back to food, you can't, it's food is nationless, you know, you got it crosses borders, you know, and there's nothing to stop that. But what we would love to do is really bring it back to our roots,
like, all of our bands,
just do a trip. Marcus's heritage, Jamaican, Sipar with, like, you know, Kurdistan and Czech Republic, me. Well, I ain't got far to go get any EasyJet flight for a school back to Scotland.
We're all mongrels, innit? Like, even anyone that thinks they're from pure one country, most people, there's always something in there. So I'd love to do, like, I think it would be really interesting to do like a DNA test and then just follow the trail.
We're all going to be page.
Yeah.
You know what? I really want to do the DNA test, except I don't trust it.
Really?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you're
going to make me paranoid,
because the DNA is in the system then. Like, they
Oh, you're on some UK hip hop shit.
Sorry, officer. Not guilty.
I don't believe in DNA.
If you've had a
DNA.
Piss in a police station, they got your DNA, bro.
That's true. I don't actually have any DNA at the moment, so sorry.
I'm on the market for some DNA if anyone's got some.
But that's the reason why I don't want to be in the system. Like, the same way I don't do those.
It's too late, bro.
I know it's too late. Yeah, but the people that run our country are such fucking idiots that if you struggle for your GP to send some information to your therapist or to your, you know, like the guy that your specialist at the hospital.
Yeah.
How is my man at fucking police station going to send your DNA to my man in the MI5 or some shit? I just don't think that they talk to each other.
Because they don't give a fuck about your health, but they do give a fuck about if you've done something, innit?
Yeah,
exactly. I've given up on it, bruv. When I was mad on my underground hip hop shit, I'd just be like, I'm not putting my real name or birthday on my Facebook account. Yeah. And then you end up losing your fucking password and you can't get in because you can't remember what name you put in.
And
it's just long.
No, I feel you. So before we cut to the piss break, because I'm sure we got 45 minutes there, I've got a couple swift questions for you about the Taste Cadets. From each of you, ideal anywhere in the world, ideal food destination.
Korea.
North or south?
I would live dangerously. No,
he doesn't know the difference.
Sacre. Yeah, well, I love Korean barbecue.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah. So I'd obviously love to go to.
That'd be south.
That's the lick. Yeah, it's a good shout, that one.
Got my mouth full of food. But the fucking Korean barbecue in LA is crazy.
Oh, what, Koreatown? I never got to go there, man.
New Malden, though.
Yeah, so where I was born in Kingston, where I was raised was New Malden, and that is basically Koreatown of England.
Largest population of Koreans outside of Korea.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, straight down.
It's just the whole thing is Korean, up, man, like that. Like, Korean barbecue. Yeah, it's true, like that. In the best way possible. It's amazing. The food's great.
So is it the all-you-can-eat vibes like in LA?
No,
it's Luxo.
Jingo-gay, New Malden, banging Korean barbecue. Okay. Yeah.
So, Sipa, what's your destination?
Do you know what it is? I'm well sentimental, and sometimes that keeps me in a box. So I'm like, oh, I loved Vietnam. I loved Southeast Asia. So I always in my mind want to go back there. But where I'd love to go to like Libya or Lebanon.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
You know, like I love Middle East
Lebanon
food. And Kurdistan. I've never been there. So like I kind of, like, some of my favourite food in the world comes from that region. So I'd love to go there, man. Yeah, what about you, Kieran?
Well,
Greg's haggis.
Well, Greg's is my favourite restaurant. Basically, I know it's a little bit baited. I know it's been done a lot, but I'd fucking love to go to Jamaica. It's a really small island. And I know for a fact, with a couple of weeks, I could go around there and try all the best shit.
You'd be very, very welcome.
No worries.
There was a place in Jamaica that when my parents took me to Jamaica, and like when I was about 8 years old, and we grew up vegetarian, so we were looking for the Itau shit, and you know, my parents just hated the idea of being in the resorts doing any of that shit. So we just went around.
You had to break out of sandals.
I always wanted to go to a sandals, because you know what I mean, the cougars and that.
So
there was a spot called Lion's Den that was in Ocherias, and it was on like on some kind of hill. It was sick. It was completely empty, but it was like this guy and his son.
That roadside thing.
Yeah.
Loved that.
And we just went there every night. It was like fully like vegan. The food was incredible, man.
Sick, yeah.
But yeah, that spot is amazing. I hope it's still there.
I love vegan food because I feel like you have to make a lot more of an effort to try and make it amazing. You know what I mean? Whereas your meat, you can just put on a barbecue. It's nice. You know what I mean? But vegan food is a lot more technical.
Vegan,
so I rate
it up from vegetarians, though. They actually put the... Do you know what I've found as well? Like, see, I used to tie my nose up at it, right? I'm not going to lie. I said, fuck that, right? Because I lived in France for almost 10 years,
And everything's butter.
Cheese, butter,
meat,
swine.
All the rest of it. And then I went to Argentina, and Argentina's just like meat central,
Oh, man, I need to go.
But where you get that sort of culture, you also get the anti-culture. So, and vegans in those kind of places are the anti-culture, so they need to step up their game. I've tried the most banging dishes like in places like in France and Argentina, vegan. And to be honest, I've got more and more vegan friends these days. Like, people are just becoming vegan for a lifestyle.
Living in East London.
Be like a health choice. Now it's a real
trendy
lifestyle.
Gang.
Which is a good thing, though. It's
Shout
more for
toes.
Us, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know,
I think vegans are important if you want to save the world, because we're not all going to be vegan, so some people need to do it. and I ain't ready.
Some people. Being vegetarian, 27 years of my life, man. I
really?
Think it's very important.
Tunisian as well. Mm.
Yeah, well, you know, because I'm Tunisian. In Ukrainian, like Irish English.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
So it's all sorts, you know what I mean?
Could decide to just.
So you've got that.
Yeah.
You've got that.
That's too much.
Yeah.
All right. So, most slept on cuisine. What's like, what's the J. Cole of cuisine?
Do you know what?
What's going on?
Hip hop.
I don't stand a fucking chance for this shit.
Well, listen, I'd say, okay, so something really interesting for me is when we tried, I can't remember how you say it. It's spelled Urga cuisine, or maybe they say Yogo. That's
we'll never get the accent right, but
Urga,
where's that from?
So that's like it's a place in.
It's like Mongolian Chinese.
It's like halal Chinese type food, basically. Yeah. It's like a group of people that were Turkic.
It's like a nation.
Or Turkits, something like that, yeah. But we found, what we do, we try to look into like next places and that. Mm-hmm. Found a place in Walthamstow that
that made it. It was like all hand. It's amazing because it's best of both worlds. It's like hand pulled yep. noodles, but with lamb and deep, rich red tomato stew, like Arabic types, you know, like halal food stews and shit, lamb skewers. Dumplings. But then you've got dumplings as well. So it's kind of like
heavy food. But yeah, you need yeah. that
yeah.
it's cold.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So to me, that slept on me because it's sound. I've only found out about by doing some research, and it's amazing. And it's all similar flavors. Like when we had one of the dumplings, it tasted like what you'd have on top of a lamachun, you know what I mean? Like the Turkish mince type thing. Oh. So it's nothing that would it's nothing too hard to get used to, do you know what I mean? So that's kind of slept on for me. But what are you saying?
You got your suit on the yoga stuff. Yeah. You're like, it'll go from sort of like goulash sort of style into like,
but with noodles,
like yeah.
I was gonna say, I think goulash has slept on big time.
Okay, then that's my culture still.
Yeah, no, goulash there, hands down. You can't knock it though, man. Come on, big hearty
paprika stew,
beef
cookbooks. Is there any point?
Not for me. I think you've got the internet now.
YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay, books are great in general. Yeah. I like books.
They got books.
I think I've actually had experience with having books and not opening, cookbooks. I'm getting excited when I buy them, not really going on to them. And when I need to find that recipe, I'll Google the shit out of it.
Exactly.
Or I'll watch a program and I'll be inspired by a recipe. You know what I mean?
I just don't think I've ever followed a recipe.
Really?
Yeah. Never. And
I want to know, but I want to know the basics of how it should be and then put my own twist on it. But I think we're kind of split down the middle on this because Kieran's quite old school.
You're 100% right. I like looking at a book and receiving a book first of all, right? Mm. And especially there's two different types of books, right? A received book is a book that you may not necessarily buy yourself, but somebody was said, oh, you got to read this. Mm-hmm. And genuinely it'll be shit and you don't want to read it. Yeah, something that they enjoyed, right? Mm. But when it comes to cookbooks, I love receiving cookbooks because it's like, it's something that I probably wouldn't have got myself, but I'll definitely like look into, right? And you're always experiencing something new and never going to be disappointed when it comes to reading about food, right? But simply holding the
physical
book, the physical part of it, having the book, and in every single cookbook you've always got the history about the food
that's true.
There's always like, you know, the introduction and the prologue, but just like in any novel, you get a story.
They've got
about
that on Google
food.
Though
but where
no you
but
ain't
but no, wait, you have, but you made a point and I can't fold that. You like the physical, like you always say.
I smell a book when I open it.
You're like a brilliant chef as well. You can like see a recipe and put it to something else, or like, oh, that's a good idea, that'll work with this.
Yeah, that's
true. I'll tell you something,
I have to follow something to the T.
There you go. And that goes to what you were saying, that you don't follow recipes, but you cook, right?
Yeah.
You cook. Some people don't, innit? So some people need to see that basis. And I still like to see what the exact
poncy about it.
I think we rely on the internet a little bit too much, right? Because there is no, honestly.
No, you're saying you're sliding in DMs.
Completely different, right? I cook my own recipe. I lived in France for a while.
Yeah.
In a shack, in a Jason. No. But I'm saying that's, you had a bit more of a, like, you were with nature.
I was in a country vibe, right? So I used to go to the market twice a week,
and I used
to go to my ex-girlfriend's, like, basically, I don't know, lack of a better word, that sort of peasant style grandmother and granddad, right? And she used to knock us up something banging every week, right? And she'd take it out of a recipe book. See, and I was like, just out of interest, when I started to actually pick up a bit of French, this is years ago, I learned to speak it before I could read it, I started to open the recipe books, and then I realized it's nothing like the recipe that I know. I've looked up on the internet.
Yeah.
And, you know, I started to apply that when I was starting to cook. I'll give you an example, A typical bolognese, right? Bolognese ragu. There's no such thing as an actual...
I get a bollock in every
ragu.
Time I say
there's no such thing as an actual bolognese, right? It's whatever recipe any particular grandmother might have come up with in
and there's parts of Italy that had the tomatoes and the parts that didn't, so they had the purees.
Exactly.
Depends which region.
Some use red wine, some use white wine.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Milk and celery.
Yes, that's what I use, straight up. Yeah, white wine, milk,
and celery. He literally just uses milk and celery.
Yeah.
It's potters.
I like to call it vegan, but it hasn't even got beef in it.
Just milk and celery.
Yeah, I get the sort of romanticized sort of being able to hold something and find a backstory about it.
Yeah, that 100%. Is nice. Look, because I've got family cookbooks that have been there for years and years, but have I looked at them, or have I like stood there and been shunned out of the kitchen by my dad and like kind of looked around the door and tried to see what he's done? You know what I mean? That's a different kind of vibe.
Yeah,
like,
it's true.
You pick them up. Or ask my nan what she's making, or like some shit like that. But you know, I appreciate that. I appreciate that it's different for a lot of people. You know, I've had to sit down with a lot of like rappers specifically who see when they come around to record and I've just cooked something. They're like, how did you make that? And I'm like, let me show you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, okay, here's how you make a dal in like, you know, 10 minutes.
You
only need to, like £3 worth of ingredients, £3 worth of ingredients, man. And you can do this shit.
Yeah. That's sick. And you know, it's funny you said rappers, because what Kieran was just describing is what a lot of like people in hip hop are like. So it's like, do I listen to things on MP3? Yeah because it's easy. But do I like to open up an album? You know what I mean? Do you remember that feeling? Same, you know what I mean?
The crackle of a vinyl.
That is what Kieran's saying, isn't it? You know what I mean? But me, I'm just like, I'm too far gone. I'm just like, I ain't got time. I'm just on Google. You know what I mean? But a sick thing that actually Kieran taught me was go and type it. Use Google Translate,
find it in
its own language, and then the Google of that country will show you the illest recipe. You know what I'm saying?
Bro, that's a mad trick. But I look at the book first, type it all into Google, it takes about 4 hours. And then Google Translate, slot it back onto the shelf and then cook.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
All right, well, that's a perfect point to, you know, we've had a long first half, but that's perfect for the piss break. Back in a second. Mouthful of sausage. Welcome back to the Thanks for Trying podcast. My very special guest, Sipa and the Taste Cadets.
Yes.
Quite drunk already, but this is tradition to do the shot. So cheers to you guys.
Okay, nice one. Cheers.
I'm excited for you guys, man. I'm excited.
Nice one, man.
Delicious.
That Patron's, it's quite smooth.
It's got Patron's a lovely, persistent fire about it. I like it.
Sipa is a previous guest on this podcast. You know that, you know what goes down. But what you won't know is that in season two, which this is season two, I've added in two segments.
Ooh.
Two segments that every guest on this show has done. But before we go into those, I want a personal question, because I have to ask, obviously, about Corrupt FM, people just do nothing.
Uh-huh.
You've got the final season coming up.
Yeah,
so you need to talk about that. You need to bust a little knowledge on people.
Yeah, man. Of course, it's only right. It's the reason I'm here. Obviously,
bust a nut. You know,
it's the reason I'm where I am with being able to even talk about maybe doing a TV show. My friends traveling the world. So, defo. Yeah, man. It's the final season. We finished filming it. It's coming out in November.
Wow.
It just felt like the right time. You know, we've been doing it on the YouTube it started on YouTube. So really the birth of it was in like 2010. It's been on TV since 2012. And we always imagined that we'd do like a lot of our inspirations, like The Office and others, that we just wanted to do two series. The first time we've ever done anything that I feel like we were just learning the whole time, and it would have been stupid to end it there.
Yep.
And this just feels like the right time, really.
And it's really brave as well, and also super important, I think, because there's so many shows that I watch that go on too long. I'm not ashamed to say I used to love Grey's Anatomy. Yeah? Like, I don't give a shit. It went on too long. I stopped watching it.
Yeah.
I used to love Walking Dead. Went on too long.
My thing is, I just feel like it doesn't have that same place in your heart if you remember it for dragging on. Well, like The Office, for example. I'm like, I wish there was more. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I think of it. That's the best way, you know? And hopefully we haven't dragged it on too long already.
Not at all. And also, that's the thing with the BBC seasons. They're so short. It's not like you're doing an American show with 23 episodes per season.
Yeah, bro.
Like,
even the usual UK comedy, 6 episodes, but our first series was 4, then the second series was 5. So it wasn't until series 3 where we had an actual full series, you know? So that's why, like I said, it was a learning curve, you know?
Yeah.
We hadn't done anything like that. We'd never acted, never written before.
I love the first episode of everyone that comes out. Like, there's a perfect amount of time in between each season. You watch it, it's like, it's actually the sort of, it's almost a natural progression of the people behind the characters.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
I love it. And it's like...
The weight fluctuation.
Yeah, all of it. Like,
like you say, you know, American seasons, series have loads, but that's because there's a whole team of writers. There's, you know, rooms of 20 people sometimes, but with us it's just
and
us
advertising as well. They can't really make that money.
Yeah, definitely
money.
So yeah, we just thought, let's end it on a high. Hopefully people like
it. Is that the end of MC Grindr?
Probably would be, to be honest. Yeah, like
We planted a film as well.
All right, okay. So we're going to get into the segments because I'm quite drunk already, which is
brilliant. Yeah, I'm a bit waved that one. No, I'm slightly waved.
So slightly waved is professional. What we want. Exactly. Okay, so this is a section called Under the Patio, where it's obviously named after, I mean, whenever this comes out, it might be 6 months ago, it might have been 8 months ago that my record came out called Under the Patio.
Right, I thought it sounded through murder.
Plug, plug, plug. Well, it is. It's okay. Basically, this is about people in your daily life that annoy you. There's certain things, there's certain examples.
Wait, carry on.
Certain examples of that I'm going to give you, and you guys can tell me whether the type of capital punishment that you think that they deserve, okay, and whether they deserve to go under the
patio, deserve Lang or not, or
Brookside style, okay. All right, here's one that maybe you guys can relate to. People that say the phrase "it's not that deep."
Because, oh my god!
I'll be real with you.
I like
when
that
people, I like the phrase, but when people say it to me, it is that deep.
Yeah, that's exactly.
That deep.
Yeah.
That's like saying calm down.
Quite emotional in the way that I was outspoken.
Does that mean calm down?
How I feel.
Basically, it's like that.
And it does happen to me with my close circle of friends. Like, it happens with the corrupt boys as well. I might be outspoken about something. It's not that deep, man. Don't get all emotional about it.
It is that deep.
That means it's that deep, man. Because, you know what I mean?
If it wasn't that deep, calm down when you're fuming.
If it wasn't that deep, you'd probably pretend it was and try and help me out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If you say, if someone's fuming at you and you say, and they say calm down, you're gonna do the opposite.
I love doing that to Kieran's.
Relax. Shut me up. Those people go under the patio straight away because honestly, it is that deep.
Yeah, it might even be patio slab on the head.
Yeah.
Boom. Get straight under.
So, you know what I've realized through doing Under the Patio, the segment, is that everyone else in the world is very diplomatic and I am very aggressive.
Yeah.
And all I want is to kill everybody.
Sour.
So that's my self-realization of the day.
Yeah.
Okay, people who stay friends with your ex on Facebook or continue to like their photos on Instagram.
Right. Okay, that's two different things. You can still be friends with them. That's fine, because you don't want to. It creates
that's quite passive.
It creates an issue if you unfollow someone. Yeah. So if you don't want that person, might not want. You know, some people that unfollow people that the person might then message and go, why did you unfollow me? Mm-hmm. Then that creates an issue, doesn't it? It's better not to have an issue.
Okay. Yeah, because personally, it's not that deep.
But no. if you was with a girl, she done you dirty, she left you and shit, and then I started liking every photo.
I would not give a fuck. If you split up with your
girl, that's a good point. That's
I would stay
point.
Friends with her. I would like her shit, whatever.
These are not exes from like, you know, I'm talking about ex from like 10 years ago.
Do you know what it is? I was
why are they still, then there's no reason for them to be friends.
Do you know what? I left Petty Gang a long time ago. I'm thinking a bit.
Sorry, hold on.
Nah, I'm not really petty gang.
I am petty gang. You are Marcus. This is petty.
I think
if you are not petty, get the fuck out. We are petty motherfuckers.
Do you know what it is?
Thank you.
I think it's specific to that situation. Kieran's right. If you were friends with my ex anyway, then who am I to be like, what are you doing, like an effort? Do you know what I mean? I think it depends on the situation.
Unfollow.
That's my...
Look, I have loyalty, man. I unfollow every ex of my mate.
No, but...
Really?
Okay, here we go.
And then you're missing a massive opportunity anyway.
What does that mean?
She's single.
Same vibe.
Okay, here's... People that say you look like someone else when the person in that they're comparing you to is clearly Butters.
And you look like Ozil, the football
player. Do you know what it is? I think Kieran is a very special person because... don't laugh because you're making it... I'm not taking a piss. I'm actually fully... No, I'm not. I'm being fully serious. Like that footballer, you took it on the chin and you think that's hilarious and you laugh it and you don't mind it. So he doesn't actually mind, But do you know what's annoying? When you think... You look like a certain... I don't think I look like a celebrity, but a certain type of person. And then someone told me that I look like... a few people said fucking Dominic Cooper. And I was like, in my mind...
Who's that?
He gets a lot of girls.
But I don't care. I don't want to... In my mind, I don't look like that. In my mind, he's like a bug-eyed, you know what I mean, little face. Yeah, obviously, I must look like that.
I just instantly look at Kieran.
No. You got a big face and boggle eyes. That's different to bug-eyed.
I have the face to match the boggle.
But you know what? Corin, like you said, yeah, the person that said that to me was like, what? He's famous. He gets a lot of chicks. Yeah, I'm like, I don't give a fuck. That's not what I thought.
If you're famous,
like,
you get a lot of chicks.
No, but in my mind, I'm Johnny Depp in the 90s. Do you know what I'm saying?
Johnny Depp is prime.
In theory.
Why are you guys? But does anyone say that about you?
Yeah, of course, all the time, man. And you know, when I was fatter, I used to get a lot worse. When I was fat with a beard, I would get...
Jonah
Hill, imagine.
Everyone's fat with
a beard. No, Seth Rogen when I was like fatter.
Yeah, but he's a good looking big guy.
Yeah, but or Action Bronson. But then there was a time when I was with Action Bronson.
Yeah.
And there was this guy who's like, you look like each other. And Action Bronson put his arm around me and he said, are you saying because we're both white and we're like that we look alike? Because I think that's pretty racist.
Yeah.
That's like, wow. Appreciate
he's got
that.
Piercing blue eyes. He's the only big fat guy that chicks think still a
he's Albanian. You know, he gets a lot of girls.
It's like, not a problem. It's like different white.
And you know you've got a fucking but like, you know, Calvin Klein model physique. We all know that.
Yeah, like on widescreen. So I used to, I used to always call myself on dating apps. I used to call myself the Jason Statham who's let himself go a bit.
Okay, yeah, that's all right.
And I'm totally fine with that. And then I sent you recently when I got called up to be stand-in for Jason Statham on his new film.
Oh shit, swear down.
And I was like, this is hilarious. Like I didn't get it in the end, but the fact that they'd asked me to do it was fucking...
Imagine a production crew creasing out the fucking people that got invited down there. A room full of Jason Statham.
Like a room full of Jason Statham. Very strange, man. It's just like, you know what? It's just they wanted someone bald. And you know what? Like, I am not mad. I am not mad at that. When I got to 30, I realized it was then okay to be bald.
Oh, but that's it. But it wasn't before.
It wasn't before then.
Yeah, yeah. It's true.
I've stayed the same.
I'm going through this now.
Imagine him with a quiff.
Being bald is tough though, man. Like I've always had grey hairs from early, but I've had a thick head of hair.
At least you've had hair.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I've often thought that. I mean,
I had dreadlocks because
I've got
years
a top.
My dad has recently had dreadlocks.
I am fucked.
I've got such a tiny pea head that I couldn't survive bald. I'd have to put myself 6 feet deep.
Luckily for me, my head's under the patio.
I've just got a Ukrainian block as a head.
Wow.
And it's just it doesn't suit anything other than just a shape up
hair.
Yeah,
and that's okay.
Listen, being bald and not being able to have facial hair, that would be fucked.
That would be fucked
because you need,
man,
that balance.
Imagine that.
If you're bald and you've got a nice little beard,
I can get a beard.
That's cool, isn't it?
Okay, one last one and then move on to the next segment, because you know we're all drunk, we're having a good time.
I'm loving this.
Okay. Bear in mind, I have a long list. I've just got such a long list of these.
Shit. Oh, okay.
And I keep adding to them.
Yeah.
There's so many. People who go on their phone at the cinema with it on bright. Oh, man, I see this is pissed off Sipa straight up.
I'm fuming at that. Not even in the cinema, at yard. Yeah.
Okay.
If we're all watching a film on the sofas and that,
yeah,
I'm way too self-aware of everything. I can't switch off. So help me switch off. But I stopped. Do you know what I mean? Like, help me, because I
help
can't
me,
switch off
help
myself.
You.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Because if
don't
I
make
see,
me fume at you.
If I see a little light in the corner, I start thinking about it. Do you know what I mean? I'm fuming. So
the reason
so
we turned off the lights is because I don't want to see any fucking light.
Yeah, definitely. No, that pisses me off, bro.
Imagine the cinema, man. Like,
I'm even just... the same. Even if I'm someone I'm with, even just talking, if they're not whispering, I'm like, just because I know how fuming I'd be. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
I speak up though. If you speak up. Yeah, I'll say
something. Marcus can't really control himself.
I'll tell you about yourself, how you would tell me about myself.
No, you have outbursts before it goes anywhere.
Yeah, I do tend to fly off the handle.
Like I've been with someone in the cinema where they kept looking at their phone, and someone had from behind us has just gone, excuse me, can you
That's me.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy about it.
Yeah, of course.
Really
yeah.
Happy. I don't like want to be that you. Guy.
That's that passive aggressive. Yeah. I'm like that as well.
I don't want to say that to my mate, but I'm really happy.
So turn around to the person and go and give him a little wink and a smile.
Your
check's in the mail.
Yeah.
And when my mate went over to me and went, oh, can you believe that guy? And went, well, to be fair, your phone was.
That's sick.
That's amazing.
But it's true though, man. I mean, people that, why would you do that? if I ever have to check my, if I know I'm going to have to check my phone in a cinema,
yeah.
I'll sit at the back of the cinema, I'll put the brightness on low, and I'll make sure I'll think, oh, I've got, you know.
Have you done that?
Nick, yeah,
can
I've done
wait,
that.
Wait, cinema and went for
emails. No, not completely, but if I know I'm expecting like an important thing, and I'm going there to take my mind off it, I'll go to the back, and then an hour and a half in or something, when the film's getting a bit
you might
boring,
get a little anxious and I'll need to check your phone. Yeah.
Were you on your own?
And you know what? That's
I love going to cinema on my ones.
Yeah, that's hard. I rate that.
But I have anxiety about doing things on my own.
I know you mean, but I've tried it and it's sick. And I rate people that do it, and that's probably why I've tried it. Because I'm like, it reminds me of
like
once
a week, man,
a mad little, you know, them brothers in like independent films that live their life. I'd love to live my life one day.
View passes things like
when I see people eating on their own in a restaurant, I think that's mental. But I would love to do that. I would love to be that guy.
I love doing that, but I don't do it anymore.
Oh man, there's a lot of people that can't. There's a lot of people that upset me and piss me off. People that stand next to you at the urinal.
Oh my god!
And talk to you.
Oh, I love that.
You love that?
No, I don't love that.
No one loves that.
So for me, it's like even more of a personal annoyance because for what I do, because I get stage fright anyway. I really like overthink everything. Like if I tell myself I really need to go piss, then it won't come out. You know, that sort of vibe. B, especially at festivals or whatever, it's happened to me just now at Outlook. I'm having a piss. You know them urinals where you're opposite each other?
Staring them in the fucking eye.
And someone will go, Grindr, what's going on? Looking to shake my hand. You know, after come a piss, on. When we're pissed, I'm like, come on. That's what I love anyone. Don't even want to say, fan sounds. Like people that... I appreciate what I do. I love it. Of course, I'd be nowhere without them, but not when I'm pissing, man. Come on, like.
Why would they do that when you're pissing?
Why? It's just like, certain people would know
when I see it. I see it all the time, even if it's nothing to do with me. If I'm having a piss and I see someone chatting to someone else, I don't like
people
it.
People try to shake my hand afterwards. Like, they have to just spud my elbow.
Wash your hand, Rubai.
Yeah. I know people so well that I can see it coming almost because I can basically you can see it through the eyes. Yeah, when someone notices who he is and you're pissing next to him, especially at a festival.
Oh, you always
and
see
I can
it,
see
man.
Someone like that, and they're always pissing with mates. You piss as a gang at festival.
Yeah, yeah.
I can see them going like,
it's one of the rules.
So they've all got their cocks in their hands. Piss gang, and they all got their cocks in their hands, and they're going,
yeah. Don't look another man in the eyes while holding your cock and start a conversation.
Steve is trying not to notice, and I can see it coming, and then it's just fucking weird.
Yeah, definitely. To me, that's definitely under the patio, man. Straight up,
guys coming up to
him. Leng.
I'm not even going to say anymore, man. That's me done.
Do they think you're going to run away after you piss and they can't talk to you? Then, like, why don't you just wait until the urination has finished? And then say hello.
It's weird. Do you know what
urinations
it is?
Urinations before congratulations.
Hey, shit, that's sick. But do you know what it is? I think it's alcohol in it. You know, like the situations I'm talking about, people are waved. I get it, but it's kind of like, allow me, man.
It's not been thought through.
Please, if you're listening to this, allow me when I'm pissing, man.
Let him go when he's pissing, man.
Give me that one.
I'll allow you, bro.
It's the only time he gets to himself.
Which is every half an hour, to be fair.
I've got a very weak bladder. Yeah.
Auntie Alan pisses every 20 minutes.
Auntie Alan.
Auntie Alan. Sorry. I need to get Leng now.
And he hates doing it at festival because he likes to have a little sit down from time to time.
Really check the phone.
Very understandable. Okay, so we're going to move on to my second segment, okay?
I love it, you got segments.
It's got segments.
Got two segments, man. People can't fuck with this. Okay, it changes name every single time for whatever, you know, I never plan it. A selection of fundamental, serious questions for man and womankind.
Okay, now say it again.
Sounds like a freestyle.
Now give me the other version.
A plethora of delicious inquisitions.
A phalanx
for the mandem and the womankind.
Yeah.
I still don't understand the question.
I don't even remember what.
So basically, just going to ask us some questions.
I'm just going to ask questions.
Yeah.
Here's a recurring one that I have asked every single guest this season. If you could eat one creature from a film or TV show, what would it be and how would you cook it? And the one I always the one I always do is that long motherfucking dog from Neverending Story.
Archimedes, the owl from Merlin.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
You're talking about
Falcon. Or is it Sword in the Stone?
How How would you cook the owl, Archimedes?
I want to just try to get knowledge, first of all.
Yeah, so would you...
What,
would
from
you,
the owl?
Yeah. Do you know? Have you seen it? You know what I'm
about? I know what you're talking about. How would you cook it though? Would you do it like Nando's style?
I don't know. Kieran, how... cook a bird
for an hour. I imagine an owl would probably be quite gamey.
Little pigeon style, isn't it? Like a bit pigeony.
So I reckon you'd probably have to catch it first.
not much meat on that. Not
pluck
much
that.
Meat.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, do you know what would be weird actually? You couldn't wring an owl's neck, could you? You'd have to like.
Nah, because it already spins around.
You're swimming it for time, like that.
Yeah, punch then, it in the beak repeatedly. Yeah, yeah.
Knock an owl out.
Yeah. Bash his head with a rock.
What?
Do you know what I'd do? Cow and chicken. Yeah, you know
you're
the
getting the boat. You're getting both at once.
That's what I'm saying. I'm gonna get cow and chicken.
Fair enough.
Yeah, shout out Cartoon Network.
Tactical.
Yeah, I'm not gonna eat any weird shit. I'm gonna have a cow, beef, lovely little burger, mince it up, make a burger, chicken, little spatchcock or something on a barbecue. So boom, I'm live.
Then where does the cow end and the chicken begin? Like what point and what does the middle taste like?
Well, wings, you know,
no, it's not connected, is it?
Yeah, it is in the cartoon.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, you got to keep with the theme. What am I thinking of that's connected? Is it cat dog?
You're thinking cat dog.
Oh, shit.
Okay, Kieran's got a new answer. Different. Is it cat dog?
Cat dog. Yeah, I was thinking of cat dog. Yeah.
I think I'm going to eat cat dog then.
Cat dog.
I want to try cat dog. I was thinking that cow and chicken were cat dog and they were connected.
No.
I thought that too.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Okay, so Kieran, what are you saying?
I don't even know, you know, that's a hard one.
I love that this is so relevant to you guys as well. Like, I've been asking every guest.
Yeah, we're taking it seriously.
Sarah Pascoe said Slimer.
Slimer. What, from Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Can I change this? I've got one. Whoa, wait.
Riggy Boom.
The fucking Marshmallow Man from Ghostbusters,
okay,
isn't it?
Set him on fire and just lick him.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Banana Man from back in the 90s, yeah? I'll like, lay him down, split him and lick him.
Would you have that with some pistachio?
Little pistachio on top.
Pistachio,
you know. Pistachio, bruv.
Pistachio.
Man's gonna lick Banana Man.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll give him a lick Banana Man.
That's sick. I mean,
I'm surprised. Look, I've said Ewok a few times. Like, you
has
know
anyone ever been stumped? And not, I suppose it's series
everyone
two.
Everyone gets one because if they've got a problem, I'll just reel off the list of 30 that I've got.
Yeah.
So it's all okay.
It is that deep.
Could you truly love someone whose favorite restaurant is Little Chef?
Nah,
and I'm talking about anniversaries.
If they've never eaten in any other restaurant in their life, and they took me to Little Chef, and they were like, "I want to take you to the best restaurant I've ever been to."
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
And they took me there, and they were so heartfelt about it, and the love in their eyes was true for me. And they'd never, and I knew they'd never been to any other restaurant.
What if they took you to Greg's?
I know that there's a Greg's next to Little Chef in the one on the A10. So I'll be like,
plan the date.
It's a place of dreams.
The thing is, Kieran likes shit like Little Chef, to be fair, man. Chips and beans and I don't lie.
I'll be your Little Chef.
To me, that's dead.
If they've never been to any other restaurant in their life, then I'd be done. If not, I'd drop them off at Little Chef and drive off. How about that?
Where's the most dangerous place you've taken a shit?
Oh, fucking hell. Dangerous place. Don't know about dangerous place, but I'll tell you.
Danger turd.
So when back in the day, when
like
we.
How serious you are about this as well.
Yeah. Because
eyebrows are raised to the top of the head.
Yeah. Right. So like back in the day when we used to do all nighters and do beans and walk from one end to another, literally not even in a rave, just doing fuck all and do all nighters with Leech and that. I'm telling Kieran because he knows and just stay at a train station or something, you know what I mean, all night. I remember getting up and just shitting on the platform and wiping my ass. Wiping my ass, not with a leaf, with a sock, and that comes from the brilliant upbringing I had with the little pocket tissues that my mom made me take them.
That's posh as fuck. So did you at least shit into the train track?
No, just literally onto the platform.
Yeah, like a minty ass.
I think it was my trying to revolt against society.
I used to go around his house all the time, yeah. And when I left, for some reason, his mum used to pop a little packet of Kleenex into my pocket.
Yeah, man.
In
my pocket. What about you, Kieran?
Dutch courage.
Have you ever shat yourself?
I've tried not to.
Now, be honest, man. So where's the weirdest place you've had a shit?
Weirdest place I've ever had a shit. Well, I remember. I've shat myself a couple of times.
I had a friend of mine that when he went traveling around the world, he told me a story of he was on a beach somewhere in Brazil actually, and there was a guy there that told them all a story on the beach, and he was from New York. He had a friend from his best friend in New York, and they used to have a competition. about who could have the most dangerous wank, right? They used to have...
I'm a big fan of the danger wank.
Now you're talking.
I'm a big fan of the danger wank.
Crazy danger wank competition, right? And so they would do it in, you know, places where they were working. They were, you know, they would tell these stories of like...
Were they white?
Waiting, yeah, probably. Yeah. Waiting, you know, like these really posh parties and then having a wank in between two curtains where fucking there's tons of people on each side. They would do them at funerals and at weddings and all of this stuff. Like some mad shit, right? And this guy said, well, you know, it all came to an end abruptly one day because I was working on some construction at the top. On September the 10th at the top of the World Trade Center.
Oh my God. Jesus.
And I was there working all night and I was there till 8 a.m. and I had a wank and then I came down and then a plane went into the Twin Towers.
Fuck,
that's insane.
He wins.
I think I won. I think I won that game.
That's it. Done, innit? Yeah.
It's like, that was the most dangerous wank.
Find a new hobby.
Wait a minute. Would he have been hit? But no, he would have just.
He just missed it.
Just made it out.
Yeah, they were doing some.
His mate, he told him a story.
Yeah, but if he'd like, look.
It can't be fake. Hang on a minute. This is the most legitimate.
How's proven this?
This is the most legitimate story I've ever heard.
Wow.
All right. Well, listen, guys, thank you so much for being a part of my Thanks for Trying podcast.
God, what a note to
is
end
that
on.
Where we're ending
no,
on?
No, this cannot be my outro. Ourselves. let me tell you about my danger. Wait, I didn't shit myself, I promise.
Do you have a danger wank story?
I know he does.
No, I don't.
Is there anything we can look forward to seeing the Taste Cadets? Look, what's the next thing that we can
right? So at the moment, follow @Taste Cadets on Instagram. We self fund all our things at the moment. Our next trip is to Tokyo.
Oh, wow. When's that?
Yeah, we're doing like a little 12 days in Tokyo October. Yeah, man. So like check the Instagram. We do mad stories. We basically just document it through our stories and then do some posts sort of thing.
I'm so jealous. All right. Amazing. And People Just Do Nothing, the final season.
Final season.
Which might even be out by the time this comes out.
Yeah, it's coming out in November. I think mid-November. Mm-hmm. So yeah, man. Watch out for that, or if you've already seen it, then
keep watching it.
Yeah. And if you're not really into it, then that's cool.
Don't worry about it.
Taste Cadets instead.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably Love Island will be back on.
Yeah, you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Don't worry about it. Winter Love Island.
Yeah,
where they're all in the snow.
Yeah.
Frostbite,
little Icelandic edition.
Having to cut their own feet off. Doing dangerous shits everywhere.
Dangerous shits. All right, big up everybody. Big up yourselves.
Big ups, brother. Big up. Thank you.
You have been listening to the Thanks for Trying podcast, episode 6, with my special guests, Sipa, Kieran, and Marcus, aka the Taste Cadets. Hit me up and let me know where in the world you are listening. I want to know. Drop me a little message on @TheLastSkeptic on Twitter or Instagram or whatever you got. Also, shout me with your under the patio suggestions. I want to know that everyone else is as angry as me all of the fucking time. The beat you are hearing right now is another song taken from my latest release, Under the Patio. It is out now. Go check it out on Spotify. Do all of that. This tune is called High, and it's fucking sick. Thank you for listening. I love you all. See you next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.